Okay, this morning, chapter 26 of Genesis. And again, when we read this, let your mind go to the point of spiritual understanding and not about literal, historical, physical things that happen. Let this talk to you inside of you. This has to do with your life, okay? First verse. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and to Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, Go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and to your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give in thy seed, and I will give to thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is your wife. And how saidest thou that she is your sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this that thou hast done to us? One of the people might have lightly lain with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltness upon us. And Abimelech charged all of his people, saying, He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received of the year, that same year, a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, Go from us, for you are much mightier than we. And Isaac departed there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of that Sitnah. And he removed from there and digged another well, for they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him and said in the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, and fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, Wherefore come you to see me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with you. And we said, Let there be now an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up early betimes in the morning, and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said to him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bathymath, Bashemath, the daughter of Eliam the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. Boy, there's a whole bunch of good stuff here. Okay, back to the first verse. And there was a famine in the land. What do you think the famine he's talking about? There was a famine in the land. What's the land? It's you and me. There's a famine in the land. We're not talking about the old time famine when Abraham was here. We're talking about in my life, there's a famine. In your life, there's a famine in the land. Okay? He's trying to explain this to you. He says, it's not the one that was in Abraham's day. It's not in your father's day. It's in your day. And Isaac went to Abimelech. And his name means father of the king of the Philistines. What does the word Philistine here mean? It's an immigrant. An immigrant, somebody that came into the land that wasn't always there. Okay? And it also means, comes from the root word of rolling or rolling in the dust. And it's stuff rolling around in us shouldn't be rolling around in here, upstairs. The king of the Philistines, Gerar. What is Gerar? It's a lodging place. So he went to the place he should be. Do you know that every person has a place? In the scriptures, in the New Testament, it says in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says that the Lord places everyone in the body where he chooses. It's not about what we want to do. Did God ever come to any of you guys and say, hey, what do you think I should be doing with you today? I've not got a phone call, an email, you know, no snail mail or nothing. I've got nothing coming from God that way saying, what do you think I should do with you? He already has a plan and a purpose. It was set before the foundations of the earth, and guess what? Now we have to fulfill that plan and purpose. It's not him trying to get us to tell him what to do. And I know that goes against the traditional teaching, but that's okay. God's still in control, whether they think so or not. And the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Now, he's not talking about physically going down. He's saying, spiritually, don't lower yourself back into the land of what? Bondage. Egypt speaks of bondage and something else, duality. Don't go back into that lower realm, because in that lower realm is duality. And then the New Testament say that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Didn't say we're going to be there. It says we are there. Correct? So we have to watch what he's trying to tell you what to do. Don't go back there. Okay? He says, don't go to the land of duality. Don't go back down there. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Doesn't that sound like what he told Abraham? You go where I tell you. Don't worry about where it's at. You just go, and I'll tell you when you're there. Talks about walking by what? Faith, not by sight. He said, sojourn in this land, or literally, remain in this land. Remain in this land. And I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and to your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. That sounds like something pretty awesome, don't it? He's going to give it all to you. And Abraham gave all he had to his son Isaac, didn't he? We've already covered that one. And he goes on and repeats this blessing, this oath that he made with Abraham in the fourth verse. It says, I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Stars was the third covenant that Abraham had with God. God made it with Abraham. And he said, first of all, dust of the earth, sand of the seashore, stars of the sky. He's talking about first fruit. He's talking about first fruit people. He said, your descendants are going to be first fruit people. They're going to come to this third realm of this covenant, to the tabernacle. Okay? Do you realize what an awesome promise that is? That your seed is going to be the tabernacle group. It's going to be the first fruit group. That's an awesome thing to know that. So I don't have to worry about my family. See, what was he doing to him? All God was doing to Isaac here was saying, look, it's not in your control. I have already chose this before the foundation of the world. Your seed is the one that's going to be used. He reminded him, calling all things to his remembrance, that what was said before the foundation of the world. Because I'm sure that Isaac is one of the ones that was sitting with him before the foundation. Like in Job, it says, weren't you there with us? He was there. And he said, I'll make him multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give to your seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Or by your seed, it should be, not in it, but by your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Isn't that what he told Abraham? In you shall all, or by you, all nations shall be blessed. Well, if all nations are going to be blessed, somebody tell me what nation isn't going to be blessed. If all nations are going to be blessed, someone enlighten me to who's going to fill up this eternal hell the world preaches and the church preaches. Because my book says right here, and it says it many, many times, that all is going to be blessed. And he's not even talking, because we're talking something spiritual here. We're not talking about a physical country like Russia or Egypt or something like that. We're talking spiritual things. The nation we're talking of is these imaginations or these minds or thinking processes. Everyone's going to be blessed. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Everyone will. And that's not being forced into it. They're going to come to a revelation of who he really is, and they're going to want to worship him. And here he goes on in verse 5 and says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charges, my commandments, and my statutes and my laws. There's the reason that your family got blessed. Not because he did things physical, but he obeyed. It wasn't the sacrifice. It was the obedience. And that's all God asked for right this day is obedience. Okay? Nothing more, nothing less. You don't have to follow the rules and doctrines of a man-made court. You follow what God tells you to do. If man tells you today it's Sunday and you've got to be in church, and God tells you to go someplace else, guess where you ought to be? Someplace else. You go where God tells you to go. You don't listen to what people have to say. And that's including me. See, I don't have right to tell anybody where to go. I don't. I can tell you what God said, and you got to make up this by yourself. You and him got to work it out. Not my place. Yeah, go ahead. No, Abraham was, and then Isaac. The receiver, yes. He was the receiver. Absolutely. He was the receiver. And it says, Isaac dwelt where? Now, most people would say, why is this blessed man dwelling in the land of the Philistines? Okay, but there's something beyond that. Why is he dwelling in the land? Where is the land of the Philistines? Hello, we're all in the land of the Philistines. We all live in a dust body. And this is the place that God has chosen us to be. He wants us to come in here for a purpose. You go there because I want you there, just like he told Isaac. I want you in the land of the Philistines. See, anybody can go on top of a mountain and be happy by themselves, because then they never have to fuss with anybody, do they? They never have to face their own lives and their own insecurities and their own fears, do they? If there's nobody there to bother me, what would I have to be afraid of? See? The real thing to be afraid of, yeah, yourself. But see, he wants you to go there. He wants us to live in this physical body to teach us something. This is not just to punish us. This is to teach us something. He chastises those he loves, or he corrects those he loves. It's a correction. Romans 8, verse 20, 21. Yeah. They were subjected not willingly, but in with hope. And into verse 6 it says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And then 7, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and she said, she is my sister, because he feared to say she is my wife, lest the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Now look at this. Is that something somebody else did? See? Now I know what the church says. This is generational curses. That ain't generational curses. It's just the ite in your land. It's one of the ites that was there when you started. The lying, the steal, and the deception, the fear, and all those things that babies don't have. We don't think, do we? But you could tell Solomon right there, you could tell him, don't pick this up. And I guarantee you, the first thing he's going to do is do what? He's going to pick it up, and you say, did you pick that up? And he'll say, uh-uh. And he got it right in his hand. I mean, see, you don't have to train children to lie. That's something that's inbred in the dust. It's a natural man. They're born with it. See? And so we have to realize that that's what it is, and he's showing you, I don't care whether you're a godly man or not, you've got some dust mites in you that you've got to deal with. you've got something inside of you that you have got to deal with. Okay? Every human being, because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. See? We're not talking about sin anymore. That's just something you read in the book. We all have these problems, and we all have to face them. If we don't face them, we're going to continue on in our deception. Okay? And he said he was afraid, just like Abraham was afraid. Isaac was afraid. He was following in the footsteps of his father. Now, Rebekah was not actually his sister, was she? Now, Abraham, when he said that about his wife, she was a half-sister. Okay? Abraham and Sarah, they were half-sister and half-brother. But you know what? In their culture, in the Jewish culture back then, anybody could be called a sister. You know, anyone in the family could be called a sister. She could have been a cousin or something, and she was. She'd come out of his family. So he's using the terminology, but he's using it in a deceptive way. He's using it that way intentionally to deceive someone because of what? Fear. He's afraid for his life. And if faithful Abraham and faithful Isaac, the two great faith men, if they were so great in faith, what's God showing you that they have these problems for? They're in us the same way. These great men that everybody look at being great men are no different than you and I. God is no respecter of persons. So guess what? He wants you to understand that no matter where you're at, you still got problems to deal with. If God chooses you to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, teacher, whatever, you still got things to deal with. And you know what? You better deal with them first before you start pointing the finger to somebody else and saying you need to deal. Yeah, he done been there before with Papa Abraham, and he found out this boy, he watched him a little closer, didn't he? It's encouragement, absolutely. It's an encouragement. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window, or looked through a window, the lattice work, and saw that, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Now, don't you think he knew the difference between someone, a brother and a sister, the way they might play around, than a husband and wife? Do you really think they would just 14? I'm sure there was something a little more to it than that, okay? Caressing might be a little better word, but he was getting more intimate with her than a brother and sister would be getting intimate. So he saw something. And he called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she's your wife. And not how said you, or why did you say she's your sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I feared," and look what he said, "because I said," who was talking to him? No, wait. Who was talking to Isaac? The ego, the man, the I in man, see? His own self was talking to him. He was afraid. Fear doesn't come from God. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. But you know what? Yourself will give you all kinds of fears and phobias if you listen to him. And Isaac listened to him, and that's why he's trying to teach us. Don't listen to that voice. I just saw a man on TV this week. He said a spiritual truth, and the church world's afraid of it. Can't think of his name. He's a black man. Can't think of his name. Real famous. No. This is not a preacher. This is a movie star right now. He played on iRobot. Will Smith. There it is. That's who it was. Will Smith. He said something. He said, "I had to overcome the voice in my head." And he made a pretty good explanation of it. He says, "All I know, the way I overcome all these things that I have to deal with as a person on the earth," and he said to this, he kind of stood up and turned around and said, "And all you out there have the same problem. The reason you have problems in your life is because you can't overcome the voice in your head." He said, everybody wants to say, "Oh, I don't have a voice in my head." He said, "You're lying." Sure it does. See, and if we would understand, yes, we do have a voice, and that voice is not God talking to me, but it's the same eye that told Isaac he was afraid, he should be fearful. And that's the thing. See, that I can hear God speaking out of people that don't go anywhere near a church, because God's in them, and they hear God, and they know what the truth is, whether they ever go to a church building or join an organization or anything else. It's God that they're trying to hear. and we got to know there's two voices. You know, in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of another they won't follow. Well, the another is what most people listen to. Because if I have fear in my life, I am not listening to God. The opposite of faith is fear. So if I've got fear in my life, I'm not listening to the Spirit of God in my life. There should be no reason for us to fear anything. I'm not talking about somebody coming up behind you and spooking you or something like that. I'm talking about have a fear that I can't do something because something might happen to me. If something's going to happen to me, it's already in the cards and I'm not changing it. That's God set this thing out and it's all going to happen the way he wants it. So don't be afraid of anything. Just live your life to the fullest and get what you can get out of life because it's going to pass. The life in this world is going to pass. And Abimelech said, what is this that you've done to us? One of the people might what? Lightly? The word lightly isn't correct. It should be easily have lain with your wife. And you should have brought upon us guilt. See? He said, you don't realize what you've done. By lying to us and deceiving us, you put us in a place that guilt would come upon us. And we didn't ask for it. We could have done it innocently. Yep. And Abimelech charged all these people saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. That's not what it says. He shall surely die the death. Okay? And then Isaac, and it's the same word used when it says die the death. It's the same word used when Adam says, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely, and it says die the death. Same thing. And then Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, what do you think happened there? Isaac sowed in that land, and he in the land of the Philistines, he sowed, and in that same year, he received a hundredfold blessing. Doesn't that sound something like verse 3, 2, 3, 4, and 5? And no, he said, I'll bless you. I'll give you all these things because what of Abraham did. Not what Isaac did, but because of what Abraham did. Okay? And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Something you have to watch here. It's not what you do that brings your blessing. What I do is not bringing me the blessing. What's it doing? Someone tell me what it's doing. When Abraham was obedient, it brought blessing, but not to Abraham. It brought it to his descendants. When Isaac is faithful and obedient, guess what it does? It brings it to his seed. When you are obedient to God, you bring the blessing to your family, to your seed. See? It just keeps passing on. It's like that movie they had on the time, just pay it forward. You do it and you say, well, you didn't get nothing out of it. Yeah, but look what somebody else got. See? Your mind is not set upon yourself, but it's set upon not on the me, but the we. See? The we and us. Mm-hmm. And he waxed, he said he became very great because he had possessions of flocks, of sheep and goats, and possessions of cattle, and great store of servants, and the Philistines did what? Or they were jealous of him. Tell me somebody else that got jealous because of those things. How about Cain and Abel? It's the same story. You know, if you're obedient, the other people's going to be what? If God chooses to bless someone, the first thing everybody does is get jealous. I had a friend just retired recently, and he's well-to-do. You know, I know he's got money stacked up that choked four camels couldn't carry it. You know, that's okay. And someone said something about it, and I said, hey, what are you concerned about it for? I am happy for him. He worked his life. He worked for 40 or 50 years to put this money away. I don't care if he has a whole bunch of money. I'm glad for him. I wish he'd understand there's more to it than just the money. But that's where God's got him. I have no problem with that. That's great. It's a wonderful place to be blessed in the physical. I wish he had the spiritual blessing to go with it. Okay. And he said here, they envied him. They were jealous of him because all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with earth. Oh, watch what that one says. Guess who the wells are? That's right. You're the well. And guess who the Philistines stopped up? Your head was stopped up with the dust, the earth. Okay? You're the well that got filled up with the humanity. That's what stopped up the well. That's what he was concerned about. These earthy vessels were stopped up with dust. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go from us, because you are much mightier than we are." They knew God was in his life, and they were afraid of it. When you begin to portray the life of God, well, when Jesus came in human form, here's our first example, and he began to portray the life of God in human form, what did they try to do? They tried to throw him off a cliff. They tried to do all kinds of things to stone him. They wanted to do all kinds of things to him, but it wasn't yet his time. But when it came time, he had to fulfill what he came to do. He was the sacrifice, and they did nail him to a tree and kill him. He came to the rest of the Father. That's all we have to do. And when we rest in Father's hands, what you can do, he said, don't fear what man can do to you. Why fear something that you have no control over anyway? If my day is today to be killed in a car wreck when I go on the road, if it's my day to die, do you think if I went down that road or stayed home and didn't go down that road that I'd live? I mean, that's absurd. If that could happen, that means God's just got this whole thing on random, on the random button. Everything just happens, whatever happens. And I'm sure this book says it many times, that his plans and purposes will prevail. So guess what? I know it's not on random button. It's set on course, exactly where it's supposed to be. But they were scared of him, jealous of him, so they sent him away. And Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. See, he still never left the land, did he? He said, you go to where I tell you to go and you stay there. And he did move around a little bit, but he did not leave the country, did he? Stayed in Gerar. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, because the Philistines had stopped them up, okay? After the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. Note something here. He went back and tried to dig the old wells that his father had dug, and guess what? Did it work? They dug the wells, but what happened to them? The Philistines reclaimed them. I liked something that was said in the New Covenant by Paul. He said, I never preached on someone else's work. I went to territory that no one had been into and stood on his own. I like that, because this is what's happening here. God says, don't go back and build on another man's work. You lay the foundation, and you build the house. You do the work. I like that. And that's what he's saying us for us to do. So Abraham went back and he tried to do it the way his father did it. See, God didn't tell me to copy after somebody else I knew on the earth. I'm supposed to live the way God told me to live and what I'm supposed to do, and so are you. And Isaac's servants digged a well in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Notice, when they went to dig their own well, guess what they found? They found water, and I don't even find really opposition just yet. There gets going to come. But the opposition hasn't got here yet. But they went and dug their own well. Those Philistines, see, they hang on to the land. Since Philistines are talking about dust mites and dust thinking, dust people are going to do what? Think about what? Dust. Didn't the New Testament scripture say this? That the earthy man is earthy from the earth, and the spiritual man is from heaven. His mind's not on the earthy things, is it? We've got to realize there's a big difference here. So Isaac sent his servants out, and they went and dug the well where they're supposed to, and they found a well of springing water, or living water, should say. Living water or fresh water. It's alive. The language actually says alive water. And that is our living word. And the only way you're going to find the living word is you've got to do it yourself. See? There's nothing wrong with gathering together and helping and encouraging and sharing the word of God, because God has sent people out as ministries in the earth to help people. But it's only to help. It's not to run their lives. It's just to show you the guy. Drop the breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel. Was that Hansel and Gretel where they dropped breadcrumbs or something? drop some breadcrumbs so they could follow somewhere, you know. I'm just here to drop some breadcrumbs. If you pick up the crumb and taste it and realize it's good, then you can take it and follow the course yourself. You don't need me anymore, see? Does that mean we're not friends? No. It means we never see each other? No. It just means you can feed yourself now. And if I can feed myself and then feed you, I've accomplished something. Feeding myself hasn't really accomplished much. But when I can come to a place I can feed someone else, now I've accomplished something. And when I can teach you to feed yourself, like the old adage, give a man a fish and feed him for a day, teach him how to fish and feed him for a lifetime. I want to feed you for life. See, I want to show you how to do it. And when I sat under a denominational church years ago, when I began to see these truths, the pastor of this church, I began teaching people. Look at these things. Look at these books that you can find and find out the truth. You don't have to have someone tell you everything. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you know what that man did? He said, what are you doing? Why are you speaking these things to these people? If they find out, they'll know what we know. That's what he said. And it was a control factor is all it was. He didn't want them to find out. He said, it's okay for one guy. It's okay for you because you're going to go out and start you in church somewhere. That's okay, but don't let everybody else find out about it. They'll all leave. Well, if they're supposed to leave, bless them as they go out the door. There you go. Go on out. If God tells you to go, you go. That was another one. You know, you always got to have the blessing of the preacher to leave the house. I can't find that in the book. I can't find that. If God tells you to go, you don't need nothing from me. He's already punched and validated your ticket if he tells you to go. You best be going. I can love you and bless you right on out the door, but I don't have to say anything. If he called, told you to go, you best go. Best thing I can get, best advice I can give you. Okay. And the herdsman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. What does the word Essek mean? Strife. So the name of that well was Strife. So he did. They dig a well called Strife. And they digged another well and strove with it. And they called the name of it, the first one, Essek, is contention. Contention. And the Sitna is strife. So contention and strife was the first two he dug. So he removed from there and digged another well, for they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. Now notice something. This is not coincidence. They dug two wells, and those two wells was contention and strife. Hello, Passover and Pentecost. That's Passover and Pentecost. Because there's contention and strife in those Passover and Pentecost realms of your life. And then they come to a place and they dig a third well. Imagine that, the third one, and there's no strife. Right? And he called it Rehoboth. What does it mean? You know, a wide place. It's the way. We got to the place where we're supposed to be. We're actually drawing it from the spirit now. We're not drawing it from the flesh, are we? Huh? He is the well. He's the well. So he said, because now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Well, it wasn't that he made room for them. When he went to the cross, he already prepared a place, didn't he? But what we have to do is we have to follow the commands of our Father. We have to go where he tells us to go, do what he tells us to do, be obedient. And guess what? He didn't make room for us. He just opened our mind up to understand the provision was already there from the very beginning. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It was already a done deal. And that's what humanity can't figure out, because humanity thinks we have to earn this thing. It is not something you earn. It's something you are enlightened to by the Spirit of God. When he opens that veil, when he pulls the veil back and shows you what's already there. He didn't make something. It's already there. It's the promise that he gave him. He opened up to it. Okay? And of course, once you walk into tabernacles, you become one with God. How could you not be fruitful? Is God not fruitful? How could you be one with God and not be fruitful? You're going to produce things in your life that are good. Produces like Cain. And he said he went up from there to Beersheba. And what is Beersheba? The well of the oath, or the well of the covenant. So he went from there to Beersheba, to the place of covenant. Once he came to that well of water, then what did he do? Where did he go? Which way did he go? He went up. He ascended. And what's the Spirit always saying in the book of Revelation? Come up here. Come on up here so I can show you something. Same thing he's talking about here. When he come to the well of water, when he truly started to find the Word of God, and where that well is at, it's in you. It's in me. When you find that well within you and tap into it, now you can hear the voice of the Spirit saying, come on up. It's what he did. He ascended. And the Lord did what? What did the Lord do in verse 24? Well, the word appears really isn't the best. Okay? I know that's what they render it sometimes. But there's another word. Saul. The Lord saw him the same night. As soon as you understand who you are and the veil's been pulled back, you know, God saw who he saw that he was really who he was. He knew that he was already there. And he said, I am the God of Elohim. Excuse me, the God of Abraham, which is Elohim. Yahweh saw him that same night and said, I am the Elohim of Abraham thy father. Because I am with, he said, fear not, because I am with you, and I will bless you, and I will multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. He said, fear not, because I'm with you. And I'll bless you, and I'll multiply your seed because of Abraham, my servant. Again, what did Isaac do to deserve this? He was just obedient. He was just obedient to do what Father told him to do. You go over here and stay here, and I'll bless you. He was just obedient. He didn't tell him he had to do anything, did he? He just said, you just be obedient, and I'll bless you. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and Isaac's servants digged the well. And Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazath, which means possession, and one of his friends, and Phicol, the mouth of all, the strength, the chief or the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, wherefore come you to me, seeing you hate me, and you have sent me away? Well, who do you think that Abimelech, Ahazath, and Phicol would represent? Are they not the flesh? Possessions of the earth? Everything that holds on to you in your possession of this life, to hold on to life, is him, as yourself. And Isaac said, why do you come to me, seeing you hate me, and you sent me away from you? What's the point? And they said, we saw, not certainly, the word certainly isn't there, said, we saw that the Lord was with you. And we said, let there be now an oath or a covenant between us and even betwixt us and you. And let us make a covenant with you. Now, what do you think's going on here? Your enemies will even your enemies will be at peace with you. Because you have shown yourself to be the man of God or the woman of God. I'm going to make your enemies. Here's his enemies coming and saying, we saw that you're a man of God. God's with you. Now, look, the word saw is past tense. They didn't see it. They saw it. That means they'd already saw it. They saw it before, but fear drove them because they're in that place. But now the Spirit of God's working on them and saying, my man's done come to his place. Now I want you to reverence him. If you reverence him, you reverence me, God. He said that you will do no hurt to us. What's still driving them? Fear. Because we have not touched you, because we have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. I see something here. There's a repentance in them. There's a scripture in the Revelation, there's a writing, a verse in Revelation 3:9. It says, there are some who say they're Jews, but they're not. They do lie. They're of the house of the synagogue of Satan. There's a whole lot of people here that say that they're brothers and sisters, but do they treat us as brothers and sisters? They lie. They're of the synagogue of Satan. That means they're still of the carnality. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. Tell me what just happened right there. Last Supper. Last Supper. He's willing to die for them. Communion, whatever you want to say. Okay? And they rose up early in the morning. Betimes means early. They rose up early in the morning. Who is the morning? Christ, the bright morning star. He is the morning. And they rose up early in the morning and swore one to another, and made their covenant. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed him in peace. So you know what? When people say, you cannot reach perfection in this life, you look them in the eye and say, you don't know what you're talking about. So if you read this book, and this is only shadow and type here, he said the ites left him. Hello? And they departed him in peace. They left him in peace. They didn't torment him any longer. You can come to perfection because in the New Testament it says this, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be mature as I am mature. Jesus had the same temptations as we have. But yet they did not control his life, did they? He had control of his emotions. They didn't control him. The ites in the land were controlled by the Spirit of God. Not the other way around. God's not controlled by your emotions. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged and said, we have found water. Now notice this. When he made peace with everything, then comes the notification of now there's water. And water is the supply of word to our lives. So when you make peace with all these ites in your land, when you no longer let them control you, when your emotions no longer hype you up or keep you depressed, guess what you do? Now you can hook up to this well of water, this living, gushing water inside of you. The river of life is within you, but now you can tap into it when you come to peace. Because when you're in strife, you're never going to come to a place where you can tap into this flow of life. Because he is peace. Peace and controversy can't live together. They're two opposites. That's an oxymoron. And he called it Beersheba, right? Is that right? He called it Sheba, which is really a covenant. And therefore today it's called Beersheba, or the well of the covenant. I made a little note here in my Bible and I said this. Making peace with the Philistines of your mind will let you find the word of life. Until you come to this peace, you can't tap in. I don't understand how so many ministries go out here and preach today, and you hear the anger and the unforgiveness and the bitterness in their lives as they preach. You can hear it. You can actually feel what that anger and power in what they're saying, but it's not a godly power. It's that natural hatred and bitterness and revenge and retaliation. And you know, you can only preach by what spirit you're of. And if my God is love, and he's spirit, that means he's the spirit of love. And if the spirit of love is within you, then you can only preach from that. You know, Jesus talked to some of the Pharisees who thought they were preaching the word of God. And what did he say? You're of your father, the devil. Now, he didn't say, you're of your father, the guy with red feet on and horns and a pitchfork. You're of your father, the devil. You're listening to the voice, another voice in your head, that carnal man. It's telling you, you've got a right to be mean and nasty. Hear me? What right do I have to be mad at anybody? What right do I have to retaliate if someone does something bad to me? What right do I have to hate anybody for any reason? Did Jesus hate anybody? No. And I know that the scripture says this, the Bible says this, Jesus' words, but they're mistranslated. Except you hate your mother, father, brother, and sister. It really doesn't say hate. Says you got to love them less than me. Because he don't tell you to hate anybody. It's okay. I mean, God said this in the New Testament. It says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, I've ministered this before. You know, God knows that we have flaws in us. If you get angry, don't stay with it. Because if you do, anger is going to turn into something. What happened to Cain and Abel? Cain got angry and jealous of his brother. And what happened to him? You get angry and you'll be killing people. And I don't mean necessarily physically, but you'll run that tongue and you'll take that chainsaw you call a tongue and start cutting heads off the people. So the best thing to do if someone does slip up on you and you slip off and pop a cork, pop a fuse there for a second, make her right quick, back up, get off of it. Don't take it with you to bed at night. You better drop it off before you go to bed. You better not wait till the sun goes down either. Because by the time the night's over, that carnal mind's going to run and create things in you wouldn't believe. And tomorrow you'd be wanting to kill somebody with that chainsaw tongue. The mouth of all. Yep. And he's right there with us. He's part of it, see. And it says, the name of the city is Beersheba today, the Well of the Covenant. And it's actually what we're talking about is actually the heavenly Jerusalem, okay, the mother of us all. And Esau was 40 years old when he took his wife, Judith. Now the name Judith means Jewess or praise, and the daughter of Beeri. And what's his name mean? Dry well. The Hittite, one of fear, and Bashemeth, which is a spice or fragrance. There's another way you can look at it too, odor. See, when you say fragrance or spice, you think of good things, but when you say odor, what do you think of? Stinky, don't smell so good, see? The daughter of Elon, the oak or the mighty, the self, number one, natural man. Now look what he said. This Esau married Judith, and he tells about her history. She's a Jewess. She's supposed to be somebody. Supposed to be. The dry well, the fear, the odor, and the self. And look what it says in verse 35. Which were a what? Didn't say grief to the person. He said a grief of what? So guess what we're talking about in this whole chapter? It's all going on internally. Not, this is all in symbolism, trying to talk to you in something. And see, not everyone can hear it. If they can only hear the natural, leave them alone. But if you can hear what God's saying in the Spirit, then listen to what He's saying in the Spirit. He's telling you something here. All these things are a grief in your mind. If your mind's not at peace, guess what else won't be at peace? Your body will not be at peace. And if your body's not at peace, you're going to start having diseases and sicknesses because your body's not operating where it should be operating. It's outside the envelope of where it's supposed to be working. So you're going to come down with diseases and everything because you don't rest right, because your mind is just driving and driving and driving. You need rest. These are bad odors. You'll have that stinking thinking coming out your mouth. You could call it bad breath, couldn't you? But it was a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebecca, both of them. It was a grief of mind. And you got to let it go and let God do what He's going to do. This is how narrow-minded we get as parents. Parents get very narrow-minded in the fact that they think, look, I made my mistake. My kids don't know what mistakes I made. And I'm not going to tell them. And when my kids grow to their age, they start making mistakes, I'm going to stop them from making mistakes. But see, no one stopped you from having your mistakes, and that's what made you who you are today. And you know what? You've got to let your kids make the mistakes, and I don't care how bad it looks, you've got to let them go. Because they're not yours. You didn't buy them with a price. Somebody else did. So you've got to let them go, let them make their mistakes. You be there to love them, you try to help them, you give them guidance, but you can't stop them from falling down and making mistakes. Let them go.